You're in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back at the Paracast, and this week Chris O'Brien is back in his home studio. And last week you were at someone's home, and outside the sky was falling.
Boy, we are in the monsoon. Last night I had an incredible experience. We had lightning. It must have struck within 100, 150 yards, 5-6 times here. I'm back down in down the hill from Sedona, but I'll tell you, it's really exciting around here this time of year. It's it's better than the 4th of July sometimes.
Well, we've had dust storms in the Phoenix area, and a lot of people around the United States have had really, really extreme weather. And some say, well, okay, that's because of global warming. Others say, well, global warming, it's just the normal weather cycles. I know there was this book, When Science Was Wrong, that Stanton Friedman wrote with Kathleen Martin. I guess you remember the book. You weren't on that show, but we had them on maybe 2-3 years ago about this book.
Right.
Stanton Friedman takes the position that the theory of man-made global warming is a complete fake. There ain't no such thing. What do you think?
Well, one volcanic eruption can put more carbon into the air than the entire output of humanity since the Industrial Revolution. So there is some, I think, validity to that. We're not helping by any stretch in terms of carbon emissions and exhaust and pollution. But I would never go as far as to say that it's that activity that is the single largest or sole cause for global warming. I think we're one thing that you don't hear much about is the sun is actually starting to heat up a little. And we're seeing evidence of that on some of the moons of the Jovian planets, and also weather patterns here. I think where Venus is heating up. There's a storm on Saturn, one of the moons of Saturn, if I remember correctly. I read something about that a couple of weeks ago. So I think that that's probably contributing to this wild and wacky weather that we've been having. I mean, it's I think it's going to get a lot more interesting before it gets any more dull.
Well, interesting depends on where you live. I mean, if you live back east where people were without power for days on end, and you wonder, didn't the power companies ever think about preparing for any of this, or do they just produce their power plants with the lowest bidder and they don't worry about it?
It's all profit driven. They're cutting costs, cutting corners, and cutting, quality of service. I mean, that's part of the American way.
That's right. Let's all earn $10 an hour. But therefore, you kind of look at a hybrid kind of answer here, that maybe there is some contribution from humans to global warming, but it's also very much influenced by cycles that are far more powerful than any junk we can send into the atmosphere.
That's correct. When Pinatubo, for instance, erupted, they estimated in, I think it was just a matter of 3 days, it produced more carbon, it pumped more carbon into the air than the entire Industrial Revolution or some crazy. I saw some crazy factoid like that, and it really made me scratch my head and go, well, maybe, we're not helping the situation, but Mother Nature has a habit of self-regulating. So, people say we're going into this global warming and stuff. Well, the planet will probably then cool off. As soon as that Gulf Stream slows down anymore, we're going to stop pumping warm water up into the Arctic, and then, we might kick off an ice age. Who knows?
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
If you say so.
Well, that's how it goes with the self-regulating. And that raises another theory here. Does the variance in weather, the extremes that we're seeing in weather, does that bring about an increase in paranormal events?
That's a good question. I don't think anyone's ever done a study on that or done any sort of correlation work on that.
I mean, over the years in the UFO field, we've been looking for parallels, some kind of consistency. Well, they travel ley lines. There's a 7-year interval between major flaps. No, it's a 5-year interval, except 5 years later, the pattern doesn't emerge. But then do we look at solar activity? Do we look at other events on this planet and try to relate them. And the other argument being, is Mother Earth sending us a warning? Is that what some paranormal events are, where, say, E.T. meets up with somebody and says, well, you're doing things that are going to destroy your planet's climate or environment. Stop experimenting with nuclear weapons or nuclear power plants, etc. Is that Mother Earth coming to the fore and saying, hey, folks, stop it?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I'll tell you, Gene, I got a really interesting email in my inbox this morning. It's purported to be from the Palladian Council, and they're announcing that they're going to have a grand arrival over the Olympics on August 4th. Do you want to start a betting pool on that?
No, because this show will be heard on August 5th.
Oh, well, so yesterday, the Palladian Council and four other galactic councils are going to do a big display over the Olympics, and I'm not going to hold my breath because it didn't happen yesterday.
That's right, and this show is still going to be on the air, so it's not going to continue to happen.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that stuff is wacky, man. I mean, you want to talk about wackiness. That's the extreme of wackiness where we have that. Although there are reports of UFOs over the Olympic site in the UK.
I saw the video. What did you think of that?
With videos, I don't know. Anything could be faked. I think I'm too jaded. It has to be something really superbly clear, obviously not fake, which is almost impossible these days, before I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah. Well, that's our job here at the Paracast, is trying to keep this stuff into some sort of level-headed perspective. At least that's what I hope that we can do here.
We need some more level-headedness. I think that's part of the issue, because we're seeing so much variance. And we're seeing now, for example, with the TV show Chasing UFOs, where we have at least two of the participants, James Fox and the skeptic, appear to be serious people. And they got involved with this venture, and National Geographic is looking for ratings regardless of anything, and they're caught in the crossfire. Either they participate and try to make it better, or they give it up and it becomes worse.
Well, according to James Fox and Ben McGee, they have not been called on the carpet by National Geographic for their comments about the show, which have been anything but sterling. It's pretty rare that you have the stars of a new show come out and start dogging their own show, before the third episode is even run. Hopefully Nat Geo will wake up and smell the roses.
Well, in commercial TV, what they could also do is say, you know what, we're not going to renew you for season number two. We'll find a couple of other people. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope that they'll look at that and say, what are we doing with the night vision goggles? And having them say, gosh, golly, gee whiz, oh, beep, 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 I think that's a UFO, or finding buttons in the soil over in Roswell, New Mexico, and assuming that proves the Air Force was there, even though there wasn't an Air Force in July of 1947. They wouldn't wake up and say, hey, guys, there's no Air Force then. I'll tell you what we should do, because we should have our favorite curmudgeon come on the show. This is tailor-made for this guy. Kevin D. Randall.
We're going to have to talk to Kevin about that one. He's going to love that one.
Kevin Randall is obviously one of the primary supporters of the Roswell case, but he also has some very pointed things to say about chasing UFOs, also about the Aztec New Mexico case, especially after the book that was written by Scott Ramsey and Suzanne Ramsey. And I'm going to put that to him and tell you that I actually tried to get a hold of the Ramseys to come on the show, and it didn't seem to happen. We'll see why. So we have Kevin D. Randall coming with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, this summer you and your team will probably be working from different locations. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting, where you can meet online with clients and colleagues from just about anywhere. GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. You can even participate in HD Faces meetings from your iPad. How about that? Work smarter this summer with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You know, my listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code PODCAST. Once again, the promo code is PODCAST. You go to GoToMeeting.com, you click the Try It Free button. Take it from me, this is going to be your savior for doing those online meetings in the summer.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at CamelMilkForSale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com.
Utopiasilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Returning to the Paracast this week, our old friend Kevin D. Randall, author of a number of books, including a recent one, Reflections of a UFO Investigator. He also has his blog, A Different Perspective, at kevinrandall.blogspot.com, and he has some pointed things to say about a lot of things. Kevin, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, some months back, we had on Scott and Suzanne Ramsey to talk about their book about Aztec. We expected that you would find a lot of fault with it, which you did, and you'll explain why in a moment. But to be fair and balanced here, I will tell you that I did invite Scott and Suzanne to come on the show. I sent them email. I left them phone messages. I've had no response. Now, I'm not going to assume they're chickening out or anything. Maybe they're busy with
going,
other...
I'm going to say that as I began looking into the Aztec crash, after the book came out, Scott was kind enough to send me a copy of the book, and I sent him additional questions, and we conversed through email and on the phone a couple of times. Once I posted my review of it, everything went dark. And I have not. I've sent him emails. I've tried to call him. I've gotten nothing. I've not heard back from him. I have gotten no emails from him. So I'm assuming that he's annoyed at my reveal.
Well, certainly, if you go out on the limb to write a book about something, knowing that it's a controversial subject, there are people who are in favor of the possibility that the Aztec incident involved a crash UFO. People like Stanton Friedman. Obviously, Kathleen Mart wrote a very favorable comment about the book. And we have people like you and a lot of other people who do not believe anything happened. So he had to expect that. When you write a book, people are not going to just praise you. They may want to bury you.
I'm often astonished when I look at the reviews on Amazon for my books, whether they're science fiction or UFO books, how people can be at such complete opposite ends of the spectrum. One person will say, this is the greatest UFO book ever written, and the next person says, what a waste of trees. I mean, they're reading the same book, but something in the book triggers a response by those people. When I do reviews for books, and I'm asked to do reviews frequently, I just did a couple for the Journal for Scientific Exploration. And so I take a look at the book, and I try to give it a fair evaluation based on the presentation and the evidence in that book. So when you attack a controversial subject, you have got to be able to present your case with a lot of evidence. And that, I think, is where we stumble on some of these books.
Okay, specifically with the Aztec book from the Ramses. There's one particular alleged witness where you find serious fault, and that could be obviously a serious detriment to the possibility that it's real.
They, in the book, they have two alleged firsthand witnesses, one named Doug Nolan, who was first interviewed, and Scott told me he was not at the interview, that the interview was conducted by a guy named Randy, who nobody knows who that is, at the home, I believe it was at the home, of John Lear. And John Lear, prior to this interview, which was in the mid-1990s, John Lear had been all over the Internet explaining that he believed the Aztec crash was real. So we have the possibility of a great deal of contamination there. Nolan says, well, I was there with my friend, and I think it was Ben Ferguson. May have been Bill Ferguson. I could look at the book, I suppose. But the guy's dead and cannot corroborate it. So we've got a alleged firsthand witness, but we have nothing to put him on the site. When we look at the Roswell case, we have any number of alleged firsthand witnesses, some of which have blown up in our faces, of course. But we always have documentation to put him in the place at the proper time.
So this particular witness, we're getting secondhand information that he's publishing.
The witness is alleging that he was there and saw it, but we have nothing to document that he was there. And what I'm saying is, with the Roswell case, take Jesse Marcel as just an example. We have the yearbook, his picture's in it. Clearly, he was assigned to the base at Roswell. Clearly, he would have been involved.
Okay, so in the case of Jesse Marcel Sr., we have independent verification.
Yes.
That he might have
precisely
been there. It's not just somebody saying, hey, I was there, and I saw E.T. or I saw a spaceship, and I saw the bodies, but nobody can testify that person was there. There's no other person. There's no record that he lived in the area. There's nothing.
Well, we can put him – apparently this Doug Nolan is from the Aztec area.
Okay.
But we have nothing to put him there in 1947. What I'm saying is, with the Roswell case, the first thing we do when somebody says, I was there, we take a look at the yearbook. As their name is in the yearbook, then clearly they were there. If their name is not in the yearbook, doesn't mean they weren't there. Means their name isn't in the yearbook, because Walter Hott told me 15 to 20% of the people weren't in the yearbook. Then we go to the base phone book. I found a number of names in there who aren't in the yearbook. I mean, people said I was there. Darwin Rasmussen is the name that springs to mind. You can't find him in the yearbook. His name is in the Roswell Army Airfield phone book, so clearly he was there. Doug Nolan apparently lived in the Aztec area, from what the Ramseys tell us, but we see no documentation to substantiate that.
That's interesting here. The Ramseys in their book have loads and loads of pictures of different sorts of documents, some of which have nothing to do with the case, I don't think, and nothing that they accumulated or evaluated shows what this guy might have been doing at that particular point in time.
The other thing they lack in the difference in the Roswell case is we've got newspaper reports talking about the thing falling in Roswell. In the Aztec area, there's nothing. There's no newspaper articles from anywhere. And the editor or owner of the Aztec newspaper in 1947 was interviewed in 1974 by Mike McClellan for an article he did in official UFO about the Aztec crash, and he said he talked to the guy, and the guy said, "No, nothing happened here." He's the editor of the newspaper. He would have known.
You'd think, how could that be kept a secret?
Yes. The other thing is, when you take a look at Nolan's story, it parallels somewhat the story told by Scully in Behind the Flying Saucers, the Newton and Gebauer story, which apparently is a hoax. And so we've got these two tales where in the one case with Scully, he says the scientists stood around the craft or watched the craft for 2 days before they were finally able to open it. They poked a hole, or they poked a pole through a hole in a porthole, and it triggered something that opened it up.
I don't understand that at all. I'm thinking of an advanced spaceship from another planet somehow lands here.
The hole was conveniently there. It was the only damage to the spacecraft.
Okay, so it crashed. It's the only damage. It's already there, but they have to stick something in there to open it up?
No, they just poked a rod in there, and they were poking around.
Okay.
And hit a switch or something, and the thing opened up.
Okay, then how convenient.
And in Ramsey's story, I think it's Ferguson who pokes the hole or pokes the pole through the hole and hits something within a couple of hours. So there's those sorts of problems that are rife in the book. And one of the things you mentioned just a few minutes is absolutely correct. There's a lot of documents in there, and a lot of them have absolutely nothing to do with the Aztec case.
I'll tell you what this has something to do with, benefiting our benefactors. We have Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio.
Fake Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8 inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, we have Kevin D. Randall, author of science fact and science fiction book. He's covered UFOs for many years. We're looking at the Aztec case, and we're picking apart flaws that he finds in the Aztec case. We go back to Scully. Now, the Ramseys made a big effort to resurrect the reputation of G. Bauer and Newton to try to make it look as if, well, in their particular, this legal case against Newton, that it was just something that the authorities made up to harass him. What's going on there?
If that was the only thing, if that was the only case against him, yeah, I'm on board. I can see that that might be true. The problem is with Newton, his run-ins with the law go back to 1928, and he is involved in any number of fraudulent attempts to take people's money, scams. And how he avoided jail time was every time somebody complained and the law got too close or the courts were getting too close, he made restitution on the condition that the charges would be dropped. But you look at his history, it goes back to 1928 when he's doing this.
Okay, but finally, that's not mentioned in the book. The book implies this particular case that was used in that True Magazine article was really the only instance where he ran into legal trouble. That's the implication I get from the book.
It's the only time he was convicted. But at the time of his death in 1972, there were something like 140 lawsuits against him. And the interesting thing about Newton and Frank Warren made this perfectly clear to me. He apparently did graduate from Yale and apparently was a championship golfer. I mean, he won many, many titles, golf titles. But if there were two ways of doing things, a scam and a legitimate way, Newton went with the scam every time. That was just his mental makeup. So you have the problem with Newton, with this history of run-ins with the law that go back beyond 1947 or 1952 when he got into trouble in Denver, and it continues through his entire life. Apparently, when he died, he had $16,000 to his name. That's his entire asset was $16,000. Here's a guy who's supposed to be a multimillionaire, and he died basically destitute.
Well, that's more than I have. But look, seriously speaking here, Okay, so it looks to me from what you're saying is that the Ramses look for the positive information and kind of overlook the negative stuff?
Yeah. They spin it the best way they can. They talk about two firsthand witnesses, Noland and I think Ken Farley is the other guy that they talk to. Both guys are now dead, so there's no way to verify it. Neither story makes sense. Farley was apparently living in Durango, Colorado, which isn't all that far away from Aztec, by the way. And he and a friend were going to go somewhere, so he drives down to Aztec to pick up the friend, the anonymous friend. We never have that guy identified. And then he tells a story about how he showed up and saw everybody out on the Heart Canyon Road looking at this flying saucer. And so there's no corroboration for this guy either. He's a lone voice. If the friend was there and we could verify the friend, that would be great, but we can't do any of that. Then they talk about Virgil Riggs, who lived in the Aztec area, apparently went to high school in the Aztec area, and said that he had heard about it all his life, but he didn't see anything himself. And his father, who lived in the area, thought the thing was a hoax, but while Riggs is stationed in England, he runs into a guy named Donald Bass. And Bass is from the area, and he was there, and he saw everything. But Bass has disappeared. Nobody knows where Bass is. The Ramses in the book say Bass was killed in Vietnam by a hit-and-run driver. It took me a minute and a half to find out that wasn't true. As you well know, if you type Vietnam Veterans Memorial into your search engine, you end up with you've got a listing of all 58,000 guys. And I say guys, I think there were 8 women killed in Vietnam. And only one was a military woman, due to hostile action, I should say. But all 58,000 people killed in Vietnam are listed there, and there is no Donald Bass listed, and there's no Donald Bass listed as killed by a hit-and-run driver, as the Ramses say in the book. Now, I don't blame the Ramses for that. That's what the family told them, or a family told them about what happened to Bass. I'm just saying that was something that was very easy to check out and didn't pan out, and it just... That to me is just a really kind of an inconsequential mistake, other than it was easy to refute. So this thing about Virgil Riggs, the whole chapter about Virgil Riggs blows up because Riggs said he didn't see anything, his father said it didn't happen, and the guy who they talked to is unavailable.
How convenient. Now, looking at the various issues that were raised, you had correspondence with Scott Ramsey. Did he have any responses at all to your concerns?
Yeah, he was very good about that, and I had gotten the idea that in the first interview with Doug Noland, he hadn't been there, and this Randy guy was the guy who was interviewed him. Frank Warren thought that Scott had been involved in that interview, and he said, no, I wasn't there. It was Noland, this Randy guy, and John Lear. But Scott did talk to Noland after 2000. And so he had some information he got from Noland himself. But one of the things they do in the book, and I'm sure it's more a result of being first time writers than it is anything else, they talk about Manuel Sotoval, who was a Cuba, New Mexico police officer. And as you read the book, you get the impression they interviewed this guy. Because, you know, he kind of verifies some of the stuff. And in talking to Scott, he said, no, we couldn't find him, but we talked to some distant family members who seemed to remember him talking about that. Well,
okay, that's book, like 14th hand memories or something like that. I think maybe he said
even, it's
something.
Not even that, it's not even that good. There's nothing there. I think what Scott has done is taken the story and they believe that Manuel Sotoval was the police officer involved based on Noland's testimony. And so they've plugged him into the story as if he has been interviewed and he hasn't. There's nothing to indicate, other than they managed to find the guy's name from the, Cuban New Mexico Police Department.
Now back in the 1980s, William Steinman wrote a much larger book on Aztec.
Well, no, he might have wrote a much larger book. Very little of it had to do with Aztec. There was a lot of ancillary nonsense in that book.
Such as?
MJ-12.
Okay.
The Laredo 1948 crash with the Tomato Man pictures, which is a hoax. Just to name a couple of things that he goes off on tangents about.
So basically, it was filler. Now, it looked to me like the book that the Ramses wrote could have been a much smaller book if you got rid of the extraneous documentation that had nothing to do with the case.
And yeah, exactly. And I asked about some of that. They have the FBI document, the Hoover memo, as we call it, where the Air Force is asking the FBI for help in investigating the backgrounds of UFO witnesses in July of 1947. And Hoover wrote on it something to the effect, we should do this, except I would want access to disk recovery. For example, and then the handwriting is such, you're not really sure, but I think it says, L.A. case, the Army took it, or the Army grabbed it and wouldn't let us see it. Well, that document's in the Aztec case, or the Aztec book, has nothing to do with Aztec, has nothing to do with Roswell. I think it has to do with that Shreveport, Louisiana hoax from early July of 1947. But that document is there as if it lends some credibility to the Aztec case, because Hoover's talking about disks recovered. But in that case, he's talking about a specific case in Shreveport, Louisiana, that I think almost everybody, and I say that because things that I assume are well-known facts, there are people who argue with it about them, but I think almost everybody believes the Shreveport, Louisiana case was a hoax. The only question is, was the notation by Hoover in his handwriting, did it say L.A. for Louisiana? And I did find another FBI document where that endorsement is typed out by one of his top assistants, and it does say L.A. as opposed to S.W. or some of the other various interpretations the way it's scribbled on there.
We have Kevin Randall joining us this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does it mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 800-98-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So we'll just spend a few more moments here talking about Aztec before we get on to so much other stuff with Kevin Randall on the Paracast. And Kevin, of course, is obviously a disbeliever. Now,
well, I
understand your reasons. Aztec, you can't find evidence that convinces you.
The Aztec case to me is a hoax, and I waited patiently for the book to come out. I know that Scott and others said you have to read the book to see what evidence we've uncovered, but the evidence uncovered in it was extremely weak, and I know that some of the other people involved in UFO research have been very, very disappointed in the book, and I'm absolutely stunned. In fact I saw Stan four or five weeks ago, and I said, Aztec, really? And he said, Aztec, yeah. So he maintaining that Aztec is a solid UFO crash. Which,
okay, this is Stan Friedman maintains it is.
Frank Warren thinks it is, too.
Sure.
He's pretty convinced it was a UFO.
Yes, but with Frank Warren, you can't say to him, well, gee, the MJ-12 document mentions nothing about it. So if Aztec is real, why is it mentioned in the MJ-12 document? Does that mean the MJ-12 document is a fake? Seems to me you've got a mutually exclusive viewpoint here.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so we have the Aztec case. Some believe it, but we're still waiting for more information. I'm really sorry that the Ramseys are not at this point basically trying to defend what they did.
I think what they should have done is talk to some of the UFO researchers and get an idea of what we would like to have seen in the way of evidence. They present the names of two firsthand witnesses, but we have no corroborative testimony about that. Much of the other stuff is secondhand at best. And to their credit, in the story about the preacher who supposedly saw this, the guy never told his own son, but told a deacon in the church and one of the deacon's son about it. But in his own son says, no, his father never mentioned it. But the Ramseys, to their credit, bring that up in the book. That's why I know this, is they published that in the book. And I would have liked to see a little bit more of that sort of analysis by them as they went through the evidence.
It reads to me almost like the prosecutor's case against the guilty party being the spaceship at Aztec, and the defense says there was no spaceship.
But the prosecutor always has an obligation, which they don't always meet, to search for the truth. The defense is supposed to defend their client regardless of what the truth is. The prosecution is supposed to find the truth. They should have been operating as the prosecution, not the defense. And I don't think they operated as a prosecution. They operated as the defense, and they overlooked things that didn't fit with their scenarios. And in fairness to Frank Warren, when I brought some of this stuff up to him, he would say, yeah, that's a good point, you know, and it's very worrisome, especially the dichotomy between what Scully said and what Nolan and this Farley guy said. You know, that's very problematic. But Warren, I think, is a fan of Silas Newton. Because he wanted to argue Silas Newton. He sent me all kinds of information about Silas Newton, which was very interesting. But at the end, Silas Newton was a con man.
And Silas Newton doesn't prove that Aztec occurred.
Silas Newton also didn't see anything, supposedly. He was relaying what he had been told. So
yes.
By the time you get to Scully, you're third-hand information at best.
So there you go with Aztec. Now, another person who came on the show on occasion a few years back made one observation, which is he calls the Aztec case like Dracula. You keep sticking a stake into its heart, but then it comes back again after you pull the stake out.
Yes, yes. You would think by the way, the Ramseys do go after J.P. Caine. Who wrote the article that really trashed Scully's book and saying that he wasn't fair in his analysis. But if you listen to his, and you can find it on the internet, the last speech he gave about it in the mid-1980s, I think it was, you know, Caine is really pretty funny. But after Caine, you would think had driven a stake through the heart of the Aztec case, it comes back in the guise of, Robert Spencer Carr, I think the guy's name was, in the mid-1970s, said that he'd talked to five people who he was convinced was telling him the truth and that the Aztec case was real. And then you have Mike McClellan doing his analysis of the Aztec crash as a hoax based on talking to the guy who was the sheriff in 1948, the newspaper reporter, and other witnesses or other residents of Aztec who's saying it didn't happen. So you think, well, that we're done again now. We're done with Aztec, and then we have Steinman's book come out. And Steinman was a true believer, and what really cracked me up about Steinman's book, so he blows into Aztec. He puts an ad in the newspaper looking for witnesses, and then he goes to a garage sale, and he says to the people, you know anything about this Aztec crash? And they said, oh, yeah, we know all about it. And he finds out the people had moved to Aztec in 1972. Well, you know, okay, you know all about it, but you weren't here at the right time. And that's the level of evidence we get from it. You know, these guys were there in 1972. He talks about this Harold Dunning, and he goes out to interview Harold Dunning, who owned property and may have owned the crash site at one point, about this. And Dunning doesn't want to talk to him, so Steinman sees a conspiracy in that, never figuring that maybe Dunning is really sick of people showing up on his front door to talk about this crash that he doesn't believe ever happened.
Or maybe he tells them a story just to get rid of them. You have to kind of worry about what's going on over there.
Well, but you see, the point is the longtime residents are all saying this didn't happen.
Right. Well, the flyover happened a couple, 3 years later. That did make the newspapers.
That's a whole different argument.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the real dark horse UFO events, I think, from the time period. That was a huge flotilla of objects that was seen by a number of people.
Why don't we move away from playing inside baseball here and explain this case, Chris?
Well, probably Kevin knows more about it than I do, but
I wouldn't bet on that.
Yeah, I do recall Tom Adams, who was a longtime researcher from Paris, Texas, looked into some very interesting sightings that happened, I think, over a 2 or 3 day period, if I remember correctly, of a large flotilla of objects that were seen by residents in that particular area between Aztec, I think, and Cortez, and there were reports of dozens and dozens of objects, if I remember, that were seen, and this did make the papers.
Excuse me. Let me interrupt. Wasn't the flotilla in 1950 as opposed to 1948?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it was 1950. Yeah.
And according to the Ramseys, there were a couple of UFO sightings in 1948 in the Aztec area. But this is the Farmington, New Mexico thing from 1950.
Right, Farmington. There you go. I knew it was in that area, so it was south of there. It was between Aztec and Farmington, correct?
Yes.
I think I do actually have a copy of that article. I think it was either in the Durango paper or the Farmington paper. I haven't seen it in years, but perhaps that could have been an inspiration for some sort of crash story to even develop in the first place.
The only problem with that, the Scully's first article appeared in October, I think, of 1949.
Oh, okay.
But in that first article, as Frank Warren pointed out to me, Scully doesn't mention Aztec. It's other UFO crashes, but he talks about the little men with the perfect teeth and dressed in 1890 garb and that sort of thing. But the first mention of the UFO crashes from Scully is October of 1949. So then the Farmington thing is later, and then Scully's book comes out in 52, I think it is.
Now, before we get on to another topic, we'll drop Aztec in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Do we assume then, with this book and the comments and response, this is going to be it for Aztec for here on, or five years from now somebody else is going to resurrect this case?
In ufology, everything cycles back through, and it doesn't matter how well something is solved, it always comes back. And so somebody is going to get the Aztec bee in their bonnet and going to try to find something else out about it. And the sad thing is, when I was working on my PhD, the one thing that they always taught us was you make a literature search. You have a research question you want to answer, but you make a search of the literature to see if anybody else has done the same research or if there's research that may help you refine your question. And apparently, with Aztec, nobody bothers to do the research. They just jump into the Aztec case without looking at what's gone on beyond or before them. And that's the sad thing. And I think in ufology, we need to do more of that. If you are going to attack a ufological problem, whatever it is, you should at least be aware of what the literature said before you.
Or just write the same old things all over again. Nothing ever gets solved. We're trying to resolve a few things. We have Kevin Randall. You're joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.